Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
It is 8:34 and it's Friday morning. Hey, it's time for the Concord Food Co-op. Greg is back. He's kind of like now, like Colonel Sanders of rotisserie chicken.
How are you figuring that?
Well, I mean, you didn't see the picture. I didn't. Yes, you did see the pictures of all the rotisserie chickens last week.
Oh, yes, I did.
You know?
Yeah, when they rolled them out, that's right.
I assume those puppies went like hotcakes, Greg.
Oh, yeah, they still are a big hit. Who doesn't love a rotisserie chicken? So you're at the Penny Media, right? You're still going in. I guess it sounds like I have to bring you a chicken.
No, I'm chickened out, but yeah, maybe. I mean, I eat it, and I like rotisserie chicken. I've been on it's summer, so I'm on, like, salads right now.
That's I know, here, but you could do salad with a rotisserie chicken.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, you cut up the chicken breast and put it on a salad.
Ooh.
That sounds wonderful.
Mm. Oh, God, that does sound good.
Oh, it is.
Oh, man. All right. Okay, no, I'm on board with that. So what else is shaking at the co-op?
You've asked before if we're going to maintain the curbside pickup, and so the definitive answer is yes.
Yay.
With a lot of nice enhancements. So we're working on that, and probably within the next month, the curbside pickup will be a lot easier and more user-friendly than the quick fix that we put in place. So that's that will stay in place. It's been such a big hit, and I think from the response from the customers that are using it, they said, yes, we will continue to use it. The vast majority said that. So that will stay in place and be even a better system than we've had.
Now, isn't it funny that you put something in place to try to, accommodate people, and now it's become second nature?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a nice, easy, convenient way, so it worked so well for everybody that we'll continue to use it. Yeah,
and
I think a lot of businesses are finding that they've adapted and finding that the new approach or the new way of offering services has been very well received. And mm-hmm. it's funny; it makes you rethink things, and as a result of it, some things are great ideas that come of it.
Yeah, good point. All right, 8:36 is the time, and today. Something that I've seen a bunch of stories about in the media, and I think it's great that we're doing it, how companion animals keep you healthy. And nobody's a bigger mook about dogs than I am, so it seems like a great conversation. And we have two folks with us today. One... Haven't played this in a while. Beach Boys. Wendy. Dr. Jensen, house call veterinarian who has practiced homeopathy for the past 25 years. Also an author of a book called The Practical Handbook of Veterinary Homeopathy, Healing Our Companion Animals from the Inside Out, which both introduces veterinarians and also enables animal lovers to take full advantage of their homeopathic veterinary care. Wendy, good to have you back.
Good to be here, and you started my day off with a smile.
Oh, that's good.
There we go.
No, I like that song, so I wanted to kind of sneak that in. I haven't played it for a while. And also this morning, we have a licensed primary care naturopathic doctor in the state of New Hampshire. And if I did it for Wendy, I've got to do it for her.
Oh, no.
Boston singing Amanda. Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, no.
Dr. Amanda Hagnauer. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Good morning. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for that.
She got her doctorate from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Tempe, Arizona, and she sees patients of all ages. She can be reached at H2, the number, small h2health.org. Or by calling 456-2453. And I'm assuming Warner is still working out nicely for you?
I love it.
Good.
I love it. It's such a great location. Yes, thank you.
And come on, you're right next door to Cindy. I mean, how can you go wrong?
You know, I really can't. I absolutely cannot. She's a fabulous person to have next door. It's really great to be able to bounce things off of her as well. I'm lucky.
And for Amanda or for Wendy, right now, and I know I've kidded about this on the air, when this whole thing started, all of a sudden, you know, people are home 24/7, and the dogs and the cats are like, what the hell's going on? But they're like, okay, no, wait a minute, I'm getting out more, I'm getting a little more exercise, getting a little more food. So what happens to when people go back to work? They're going to go, hey, what happened? Yeah. Is that going to mess the dogs or the cats up?
Oh, for sure. You know, now I'm getting calls from people saying, my dog doesn't want to go for a walk. And when I ask them why, they're like, well, you know, how many walks have they had? Well, this is their fourth walk today, but I have the time. And I'm saying, they're just tired.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is some concern. It's going to be a huge shift. So we've got to be careful that, you know, you might have a dog walker come in the middle of the day. You might still have your kids home and they can take care of them. So, yeah, it's a big shift to keep your eyes on for your favorite animals at home.
Is there a way to start working into the glide path for this? I mean, instead of four walks a day, are you cutting back? I mean, how do you prepare for this instead of just going cold turkey?
You can cut back. Yes, that's a really good way to do it. And just start doing some errands outside again. You know, go out and instead of putting your mail in a mailbox, take it all the way to the post office. You know, just take more time away.
Uh-huh.
You might also get, there's great toys for dogs. You can put like peanut butter inside of. They're called a Kong.
Oh, yeah.
I love those. Yeah.
Yep. Occupied while you're not at home. And your cats, you can leave the TV on, believe it or not. The radio, things like that can help them feel more comfortable at home while you're not there all of a sudden. And some working hours, I'm wondering if they can let you start work gradually. You know, if we all open up, maybe we can do half days for a while.
Well, there you go. Has it been good for people, Amanda? I mean, instead of leaving at, you know, 7:30 in the morning and coming back at 5 and trying to squeeze a couple hours. Now, you know, you've had a little more time to appreciate the cat or dog, and you've got a little downtime having lunch, just kind of hanging with the mutt.
Yeah.
Is that good?
I think it's wonderful. And I have, of course, I'm not a vet, but I have a cat, a dog, and then horses at the farm. And so I have to say, my dog, who's a greyhound, I think is loving it. You know, it is. It's really nice not to have to leave at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to get to the office. And then you get home, and it's so wonderful to have the dog there, you know, so excited to see you. But then you've got to, you know, take the dog out and then get dinner ready and run around. And now it's, you don't have that stressor, I guess, of trying to get everything all done, you know, in between, like I'm doing the telehealth at home. And so in between a call, I can, you know, run the dog out or do whatever it is that you need to do. And you just, like I said, you don't have that stressor. And so I think Wendy brought up a really good point of trying to go, oh, gosh, you know, now that you have to go back to work, you know, what do you do? And I'm getting this sort of across the board as, you know, I'm doing my telehealth and I see a cat walking across the monitor or something like that. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about, you know, I could technically bring my dog into the office.
Right.
And, you know, I have folks come in or I, you know, prior to this, coming in with companion and therapy dogs and that type of thing. And I'm sort of an open office, you know, depending on the folks who are there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be a consideration too is, you know, like for my dog, I could actually bring her into the office, or just doing the half days that's an amazing idea. I love that.
Hey, Wendy, this may sound like an oxymoron, but the fact that people have spent time home with their pets, they've actually had an opportunity to get to know their pets. And they're looking at them breathing, they're watching them walk, they're going, well, geez, what's that little bump there? I never noticed that. They're starting to see things, right, that they didn't see before.
You're very perceptive, Peter. And my work as a homeopath, all that I do is ask people, what are you seeing? And so I'm getting much better information than I usually get because coming into the veterinary office, they're a different dog. They're a different cat.
Right.
I don't see what they're like at home. I can do a physical exam, yes. But all of a sudden, I'm getting tons more information from a lot of different family members, too, that aren't normally home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really helpful for me as a homeopath.
No, it makes sense, but you're right about probably the dog or cat you see, It's like, you know, that noise in your car until you get it to the shop. And then, of course, the mechanic doesn't hear it because it's not there. So it's hard to
see that the people rediscovered their pets. I mean, Facebook is just exploded with everyone posting pictures of their little companion animals at home. They're just it's amazing that people are suddenly, I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to post a picture of my dog, my cat, and they do that daily. It's just amazing how it just seems like they've rediscovered their companion animals.
Yeah.
Who gets a Amanda? Who gets a bigger benefit out of the relationship, the owner or the dog?
I think both. That's a really difficult question.
What are you running for office? Come on, that's a political answer.
You like that? Thank you very much. I think the walk's a gray area. No, I really do think it's both. You know, I do sort of wonder, like with my dog. You know, she kind of saying, oh, for the, you know, goodness gracious, we're going out for yet another walk, seriously. but I really think it's both. Like it's kind of like you said, it's getting to know your animal again, and you're establishing this new relationship. And so I think it's great, especially given the situation that we're in now, you know, being at home and, some of people who are at home by themselves, they have their animal there, and I think it's very comforting. It gives them responsibility, something to do outside of just, staring at their computer all day. So I really think it's both, and I think it's kind of like Wendy said as well. I tried to get my vet out to the farm the other day, and I had a hard time getting him out there because people, they're now able to focus on their animals and my dog or cat or whomever has this lesion that I've never seen before. And so they're able to, get on top of that and really take responsibility and take care of their animals. So I have to say, I do think it's both.
Because I've seen a spate of stories over the past 3 months that says people who spend time with their cats and their dogs have lower blood pressure, their heart rate is down, they're healthier, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of that, symbiotic bond between the pet and the owner.
Yeah,
absolutely. And there's an emotional bond in many cases. I know of children that can benefit from that one animal in their life that's there for them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have that, that's a secure place from which they can reach out and gradually make, relationships in the human world. But the animals are always there for us. They're wonderful that way.
Okay, now here's something. We had a conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago. If somebody has two dogs and they've had the dogs for, 6, 8, 10 years, whatever, one dog passes away. The other dog is kind of like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? So that dog is kind of uneasy. You're stressed out, obviously. Do you run out and get another dog, or do you just say, oh, well, that's the way it is. We'll just have one.
No, the second dog is a completely new life. I think it's best to give time to the grieving process, honor the loss that has happened. Also, just as a point, I think it's best to include the animal that's been living with the dog that's deceased or being euthanized, include them in that passing time so that they can know this is what's happened, they're gone, say goodbye. And then give some space. It might just be a few weeks for some people, it might be a few months. But when you're ready, you'll know that it's time to introduce another one if that feels right.
Is that fair? To introduce another dog. I mean, for that dog that is left, because they've been used to, hey, she's getting up, or hey, we're going out for a walk. Where is he? That bonding that they had, now it's gone. Is it okay to transfer that to a different dog?
It certainly is, though it's unique to the animal. But it's pretty rare in my experience that a dog only loves one other dog and that's the only one they'll ever love. Dogs don't tend to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And another dog will take a different place in their heart, just like with a human. You have another dog, it's not going to replace the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So play it by ear. If you've got an old, crabby dog that doesn't ever want to see any other dogs, well, maybe you don't want to get another one.
Right.
Same with the cat.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, judge by the animal.
But
yeah,
allow that
as a replacement.
But allow that grieving time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. Both of you warm up your green tea or your coffee. Greg, flip the chickens. We have to take a quick break. We will be back with more with Concord Food Co-op right after this.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
You know, there's just something about that song. I don't know. Who let the dogs out? You know, you're not a pet owner if you haven't asked that question like 5 or 6 times a month. Who let the dogs out? What happened?
Yeah.
The Baja Men. Greg, how's Rounded Up going at the register?
Rounded Up is, last month was about 2,400 for Live and Let Live Rescue Farm, and
amazing,
that put us
great.
Over, since April of last year, 50,000. We went over 50,000, has been donated to local nonprofits by co-op shoppers. Every time they round up and give their nickel or 30 cents, it accumulated to $50,000 in the last year.
Wow.
That is huge. And at a time now when nonprofits need money and attention. Again, I give you a ton of credit for stepping up and doing that.
Just and Live and Let Live is amazing.
Doing very well. I think after once we have the customer flow to the co-op is back to normal levels, you know, that should get back. I mean, it was averaging 4,500 to 5,000 a month, so down from that level, but still supported by our customers anyway. So still doing very well.
Mm-hmm. So,
And I did want to say, though, yeah. Wendy's book is available at the Concord Food Co-op. It's right there at the customer service desk. So what's the title of it again, Wendy?
Check it out. It's called Practical Handbook of Veterinary Homeopathy, Healing Our Companion Animals from the Inside Out.
Oh, wow.
It's fun. It's a guide to when you walk into the door to your veterinary homeopath, what are they going to ask you? Why do they need to know that information? After the prescription is given, what are they looking for? It's a completely different relationship with your animal when you use homeopathy as your medicine. So it's a guide for both new vets learning to do this modality as well as people working with their vets that are using homeopathy.
Are more traditional vets incorporating homeopathy, Wendy?
Well, we're still a fairly small minority. We have, I think, only about 80 members came to our last conference, for example, combined Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy and the Pitcairn Institute of Veterinary Homeopathy. But we are spreading it slowly, you know, one person to one person. It's almost like a grassroots effort.
Wow. Mm. Wow, wow, wow. Well, it makes your annual meetings easy to find a place to book. You know.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. They're very friendly. It's almost like a family gathering.
Yeah, it really is. That's kind of cool.
People that are tired of going from one drug to another drug. You know, they're powerful medicine, and I received really great training at Cornell, but it's still suppressive. You know, if we can get rid of that symptom, that's considered a cure. But with homeopathy, if you can get the animal's body involved with the cure, the old symptoms that you thought were gone come back, and then they get healed up, and then you never see them again. So it's an organic process instead of just giving a drug to make a symptom go away. Mm-hmm. It's really quite fascinating.
Now, Amanda, we know we know that dogs, cats have their own attitude, but dogs love people unconditionally. Do people love their pets unconditionally, or are there conditions?
I think that's a good question. I think it all just depends, to be perfectly honest. Sometimes it's not a good fit, and then, you know, it's just not a good fit. But in general, I would say yes. You know, I would love to see that it's a nice symbiotic relationship, I guess you could say. No matter what your dog might do, whether it is grab onto your shoes or whatever it may be, or I'm thinking of my cat who loves to, you know, kind of go after my couch.
Yeah.
Either way, I love that animal.
See, there's the conditional love. Oh, really? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the brand new couch that I just bought. Sure, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
It's there for you. Yeah. You know, and I also wanted to speak to homeopathy as well. I'm so excited, Wendy, you brought that up and you have the book and you do what you do. Because I'm trained in classical homeopathy as well, and I use it on my animals as well as my patients, human patients. And it is such a wonderful therapy, and it is very soft and, I'm trying to think of the word, universal, I guess you could say. And so I'm really glad you spoke to it. It's a beautiful, beautiful therapy. I've seen some amazing things, animals and people alike. Yeah.
Well, as usual, our time all too fleeting. Wendy Jensen, you can get Wendy's book at the Concord Food Co-op, The Practical Handbook of Veterinary Homeopathy, Healing Our Companion Animals from the Inside Out. Wendy, you come back, we'll play Wendy again for you.
All right. Oh, no, awesome.
And Amanda Hegnauer, licensed primary care, naturopathic doctor. You can find her at 456-2453 or go online to h2health.org. Why the H2? What was that?
It's based off of a water molecule, H2O, and then Hegnauer Holistic Health.
Oh.
Creative. I know.
I wanted people to know. H2health.org.
Yes.
Amanda,
yes.
Wendy, fabulous. Good to talk to you again. We'll do it again soon. Greg, keep the chickens going. Keep the curbside service going.
They're coming out of the oven as we speak.
Oh,
and they're
going to
be a picture of them on Facebook momentarily.
And baked tofu is a great alternative on your salad.
There you go.
There you go.
Yum. Well done.
Love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. 6 to 10.